Good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful and refreshing morning after that rain it is, isn't it? We have a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers present, all the women, all those mothers of all sorts and kinds this morning. You are celebrated today amongst us. If you haven't gotten your carnation, don't miss that. Our gospel this morning presents Jesus in the role of shepherd. And we remember that we are his sheep, and we know his voice, and he knows us, and we will follow him if we are his sheep. And it's a theme that you will hear, as you did in the prelude with "Sheep May Safely Graze," throughout our liturgy this morning, as we know Jesus Christ as our shepherd.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we heard the story of St. Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road, the greatest call story in the Bible. And I talked about how one story doesn't make a whole life story. A life story of conversion and focus on God and ministry has lots of chapters, even St. Paul's story. And so we talked about that. I talked about, you listened, about that arc of conversion through the course of lifetime that gives us a sense of who we are as God's people. And I invited you to bring a pencil today so that we could continue that story and you could write your own story. So some of you have pencils and the others can borrow. And even though this is Good Shepherd Sunday, it's the lesson from Revelation that really talks about identity and gives us a focus on identity. So that's what I'll refer to today, and of course that's in your bulletin. But let's start with something else, another perspective that gives us identity. Did you see Avatar, the film? Who saw Avatar? Raise a hand. Lots of you. Okay. Well, but not all of you. So I'm not the only person on the planet that didn't see Avatar. Well, never mind. I've heard a lot about it from everybody else. I heard that film helps us to imagine the future from a fresh perspective, to imagine life beyond our own planet, like Star Wars did. It helps us imagine technology of the future. And yet, it does more than imagine the future. In the classic tradition of science fiction, Avatar takes us to a faraway place, another planet, in order to give us a fresh perspective on the timeless ethical issues which engage our life today, right here on our planet. Issues like service versus selfishness. Issues like individual accountability, courage versus fear, united action for common good. Am I getting the right themes? In our daily lives, while we just try to keep our heads above water, when we were younger at least, but even now, try to survive the 24/7 grind of work and school and family and all the rest of it, it can be hard for us to keep in perspective what our life really means. What is it that we're living for? Is it individual achievement, which we stand for? Is it to care for the earth? Is it to crusade against greed? Classic science fiction like Avatar lifts us out of our familiar routine, only to plunge us right back into the issues of our life today from a fresh perspective. As I am busy living my life, what does it mean? What statement am I making with my life? Let's hold on to that Avatar perspective and this question, what statement am I making with my life? As we look at our reading from the Revelation to John, today's passage is a glimpse of the future, sandwiched in between scenes of cataclysmic, world-ending battle. Battle between good and evil. Battle in which the forces of good are beset by the forces of evil. But John, the visionary, has cut away from the battle here on earth to show us the scene ahead in heaven, where the battle has already been won. Those who were defeated, wounded, and even killed in the earthly battle against the forces of evil, and the setting for John's story here is the second persecution of Christians under the Emperor Diocletian at the end of the first century. Those who lost on earth have already been raised to new life here in heaven. They gather secure around the throne of the Lamb, joining in worship and fellowship, caught up in a celebration with music and joy. This scene with the faithful gathered around God's throne is the scene we reenacted our worship right here around the altar every Sunday at the Eucharist. Up in heaven, the message about the future for those of us who are still down here on earth fighting the daily battle comes through loud and clear. Don't worry. Victory is almost here. Hang on a little longer. Your future is secure in God's hands. Reassurance about our future is the second most important message in John's Revelation. Just as it is the second most important message in the rest of the Bible, and indeed in Avatar. The most important message is always about how we are to live now. How shall we act today so that our lives will mean what we intend them to mean? What shall we do that will stamp us in God's image as faithful, inspiring, generous, joyful, loyal, helpful people? So what the Revelation does is just what science fiction can do and what Avatar does. It lifts us out of this world in order to focus us right back into it from a fresh, godly perspective, kind of like what the astronauts get from space. Now, I don't want anyone going home from this service and telling your friends that Father Smith told you in church today that the Revelation to John is science fiction. What I hope you will remember is that in a way similar to today's science fiction, the Revelation takes us out of our everyday environment in order to create a fresh perspective from which we can see, perhaps more clearly than usual, what's really going on in our life and what it really means. John the visionary takes us to heaven so that we can see by contrast what hell we are living through on earth, where war ravages the land, where governments repress their own citizens out of fear, where loyalty and faithfulness are eroded by the temptations of greed, and where competition trumps cooperation, even among churches. John has framed these issues of his day, and indeed of our day, in terms of the stark contrast between heaven and hell. And now he calls our attention to the white-robed multitude gathered around the throne of God. Here are the martyrs. Here are the apostles. Here is the penitent thief on the cross. Here's the leper who thought to come back after he was healed to give thanks. These luminaries, these holy ones, were tested and torn by life's hellish challenges. But in the midst of confusion and strife, they found or kept their moral bearings, rededicating themselves to God just as we do, day by day in prayer and Sunday by Sunday. They became formed into God's likeness, and they found strength to endure the times of testing that life brings to everyone. In prayer and in crisis, they discovered who they were. They understood what their life meant. So also gathered around God's throne are Martin Luther and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, and Archbishop Romero of El Salvador. I think Bishop Kirk Smith is here somewhere. And here also are the luminaries and heroes of St. Francis Parish through all the decades of its faithful witness. Here also you and I hope to be as we, formed in Christ, discover who we really are and what our life really means. What do you stand for? At this point in your life, you've probably figured out. Can you say what you stand for in a few words? I'm about to give you a chance to try. When we have an idea what our life really means, how can we express it in a nutshell? Let's hear how others have done it. An online publication called Smith Magazine, no relation to me, invited its readers to tell a life story in just six words, that's all you get. It's like haiku poetry, only more so. With only six words, you have to distill yourself into a phrase of pure meaning. So let's hear some of the responses they got at Smith Magazine, and these are printed on page 7 in your bulletin. Here's the first one. Little bit Lucy, tempered by Ethel. I'm sure Sylvia likes that. She was raised on I Love Lucy. Secret of Life, Mary and Italian. That was Nora Ephron, but it sounds like maybe it's somebody here too. Made a mess, cleaned it up. Now, life's victims tell their stories here too. One tooth, one cavity. Life's cruel. Ex-wife and contractor now have house. Found true love, married someone else. And our favorite, became my mother, please shoot me. Some coped with loss. I still make coffee for two. Was father, boys died, still sad. And where the hell are my keys? But lots of people adapted in the face of adversity. Here are two. Wasn't born a redhead, fixed that. New Jersey to California, thank God. and other people triumphed. Must remember, people, gadgets, that order. Being a monk stunk, better gay. And here's one you really have to look at carefully. ABCs, MTV, SATs, THC, that's the chemical in pot, IRA, and NPR. Aren't those fun? Are you ready to compose one for yourself? Sylvia composed one for me. Here's what she got. History book, travel-loving parish priest. I love that. That was fun, but I like the one I did for Sylvia, too. Summa cum music, people, my song. You have room to write in the margin of your bulletin. Have a go at it. Take a minute and your pencil. Find six words to capture the essence of your life in a phrase. Try it. Bring your phrase to coffee hour. We'll put them on the whiteboard. 8 o'clockers have already got it warmed up for you. We may publish some in next Sunday's bulletin. Now, this six-word nugget of meaning didn't start with Smith magazine. Back in the first century, Christians used the sign of the fish to recognize one another secretly. The Greek word for fish is ichthys. Ichthys is the acronym for the Greek words Jesus Christos Theou Huios Soter. That's only 5 words in Greek, but it translates to 6 in English. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. What better phrase to sum up the meaning of a life? Ichthys expresses the meaning not only of Jesus' life, but the life in which we find meaning as well. As we come forward for communion or a blessing this morning, let us renew our commitment to God who gives meaning and direction to our life, who strengthens us for faithful witness in the ethical struggles which we face every day, and who invites us to stand together in joy and praise around his throne today.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.